Ladies and gentlemen,
you want experience during your football season? Well, buckle up, sweet cheeks.
That's all we need.
We've got all the experience in the world. This is I Want Your Flex with Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon. Mike and Dan break down everything you need to set your lineups. From position rankings to starts and sits, the guys help you make those hard decisions. And now, let's get your flex on. Here's Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon.
Super Bowl 55 is set. Welcome in. It is another edition of the I Want Your Flex podcast. You just heard it. Get Mike on Twitter at Swollen Dome. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox, and you can find us at I Want Your Flex as well. The championship games on Sunday, Mike, were a great watch. I thought game one was better than game two, and I think that if you didn't have a dog in the fight, you probably felt that way. But we are finally down to the point where Super Bowl 55 will have the Chiefs and Buccaneers playing in Tampa.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is both games funnel back into one question. Why are you kicking field goals? Okay, if you're the Green Bay Packers, look, you got bad play call, and Rodgers has got to wear some of that. Run the ball, or you're the quarterback. Tell Maddie to beat it, right? If you haven't earned that by now, that you have two plays left, whatever he's thinking about. I mean, and if that's the only call, it's stupid. But then also, when you're looking at the Bills, the idea that you're settling for field goals, you're not winning that game with field goals.
Yeah.
That was pretty well and easily determined. So once you get inside the red zone, at no point is the field goal really on the table anymore. I mean, you're kicking, hey, we're down to the 8-yard line, and then you kick a field goal. It's just not going to work. You're even after the field goal make, you're still two scores down. Like, it's just infuriating to watch. At some point, there's going to be some guy with an abacus and like four computers saying, you know what, statistically, coach, this is stupid, okay? And let me tell you why. Just because it's always been done that way doesn't make it right. But two thrillers, two entertaining games, and like we got four of the best quarterbacks in the game getting after it. You can't ask for much more than that.
Yeah, you know, the Rodgers situation is this. I think that, to his point, I actually believe him when he says, I saw five linemen start running out of the field. And in that scenario, you can't afford to call a timeout because that's the whole reason that you're kicking the field goal anyway. Maybe that would have been the option then to just be like, no, we're going to go for it. Then you call the timeout, and then you have to go for it anyway because you have just wasted a timeout to end up doing it, to end up going for it. The whole scenario, just as it played out, has been the talk the last 24 hours. But as we look at it, from a bit of a fantasy perspective, and I do want to bring Bills Chiefs into this as well, just because of what we didn't see. I thought of the four teams, Mike, that Green Bay was the team that hangs their hat mostly on the running game. And when you go up against the league's best run defense against Tampa, I almost kind of think you had to be like something's got to give. And I thought that from what we've seen, and as you said, you can't sell for field goals. You just have teams that wanted to put up points, and anything that you could do for running the football, I think, was an added bonus. And in this case, the Buccaneers ended up running the football better than Green Bay, with Leonard Fournette getting 55 yards. I mean, Aaron Jones was kept in check. However, before he was knocked out of the game, it wasn't like Green Bay really attempted to establish the run at any point anyway.
No, and obviously, you know, a lot of it comes back to your offensive line and some of the issues they're having, right? No Bakhtiari, triple underscore. We talked about it coming into the game, how huge that would be going up against this run D. But at no point can you abandon it, right? If nothing else, you've got to be able to sell. Maybe there's an extra play action in there. Maybe, I don't know, an end around like everybody else runs. Yeah, you didn't have any of those. You didn't check the box with the jet sweep with anybody. And obviously, Adams dropped a would-be touchdown pass. You had some issues and some anger and St. Brown with the two-point drop. But to your point, 4.2 a carry, right? But you only rushed it 16 times. You just can't abandon it altogether. I mean, the fact that Buffalo won a week ago without carrying the ball at all. It was the Josh Allen show, which is really what it became again against the Kansas City Chiefs. With no Zach Moss, they went away from it altogether. Here, Aaron Jones, 6 for 27, the big fumble. So he's not probably on the list of guys that aren't getting Christmas cards from Aaron Rodgers anymore. Because remember, it's never Rodgers' fault, Dan. It's never his fault.
You know, it's a perfect opportunity to say this, and it's specifically about this podcast. Mike does his show weeknights. Him and Jason Smith have their show on Fox Sports Radio. I anchor with Doug Gottlieb during the week on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. We each have our shows on Sunday during the NFL season. And all of those opportunities, Mike, and I know that your show was on prior to the games, but all of the opportunities are to, again, second-guess Matt LaFleur, talk about Aaron Rodgers, talk about Tom Brady. But as a fantasy podcast, as we are, we try to veer from it just a little bit to talk about maybe how you ended up faring on your daily fantasy scenarios. And there are a lot of different scenarios that you could have played daily fantasy. So I don't want people to think that we're ignoring the obvious headlines. Fact of the matter is, you can probably get that stuff anywhere you turn. And I know that it's going to be a topic not only, you know, for these couple of days after, but into the off season as well. So we just try to take these opportunities to look at different things. Now, with that all being said, Green Bay was down 28-10. You know, and early in the second half after the Aaron Jones fumble. And there's just, in looking at how things played out fantasy-wise, you always try to find that diamond in the rough. And I'm not sure on how many diamonds in the rough outside of, you know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who ends up having the big play. But Adams got in the end zone. Tonyan got into the end zone. Mike Evans got into the end zone. Leonard Fournette got into the end zone. You saw what the Chiefs did. There was just a lot of usual suspects that we had in championship weekend when it comes to fantasy football.
Yeah, specific to this game. I mean, both Brady and Rodgers put up solid point totals, even with the turnovers from Brady. So you check the box and move on. Fournette wasn't spectacular, but that touchdown run sure as hell was. So that got you your money. Unfortunately for Ronald Jones, wasn't a factor in the passing game and averaged a miserable 1.6 with his 10 carries, but staying true to the run. You at least had opportunities, right? And that's the only thing when you and I, for the entire season, you know, this is episode 36, go back through the 35. The only thing we can talk about is game setup and opportunities. And if a guy gets double-digit carries, I got to think he does something with them. I mean, because that's not even as tall as he is when you get down to it, right? You're not even getting the 6 feet falling forward per carry. The run game for Green Bay, disappointing, but strength on strength, as it were. And then, you know, I liked Cameron Brate. He found the end zone, but 3 for 19, not exactly beating it anybody on that. Tyler Johnson had a big opportunity early to make a play, didn't, had one catch, and then Gronkowski had his one slip screen, and so that was all fine and good. So not overwhelming for any of those stat lines, so I guess you take the touchdowns and clasp your hands and say thank you for that.
Yeah, there's, you know, and you mentioned Tyler Johnson. His biggest play came by him not catching a pass on the pass interference. I look at when you're trying to formulate these lineups in the playoff time, and whether you're playing just one game matchups, you're playing both of the games, when you are trying to decipher on who to pick, you are looking for that unicorn. And when you're trying to figure out a way, okay, I'm going to have Travis Kelce on my team, can I afford to also have Tyreek Hill, or do I need to go somewhere else? I'm going to have both of those guys, where am I taking my hits? It was a bit of a tough find if you didn't take MVS. And he would have been a guy that probably would have probably got you in the money in a lot of daily leagues if you ended up playing him along with the likes of Josh Allen, of Tyreek Hill, of Travis Kelce. And if you didn't have Stephon Diggs and you put MVS in your lineup, you're probably all the better for it, because he was maybe the one big name that took a hit. But there weren't a lot of standouts. You know, Darrell Williams had a nice little game, but it wasn't anything to set the world on fire. So just an interesting week where I felt like the big names showed up on championship week when it came to fantasy football.
Found the end zone, right? Diamonds in the rough. A guy like Mecole Hardman makes up for his bad decision early, right? The 50-yard run, and then he gets into the end zone. Again, not world-beating, but it gets you your double-digit points, and you move forward. Josh Allen saved by the fact that he crushed that over-under on his rushing line was only 34.5 yards, Dan.
Oh, jeez.
I really wish I'd driven to Vegas because that one seemed easy. You got Cole Beasley with 7-for-88 on a broken leg, for crying out loud. I joked about it before the show doing my bit with LeVar Arrington. I'm like, I think he's really hurt worse than we let on. I would have never said, hey, by the way, it's a broken leg.
Yeah.
Right? Bruise, you know, contusions, the word that we use. But I don't know. And Patrick Mahomes is just a wizard. Like, it's almost not fair anymore. But to your point, he, Kelce, and Tyreek Hill take up so much of your salary cap space. You're not getting two of them together.
Yeah.
I mean, really not.
It's difficult, and you kind of have to pick your poison and end up dealing with it. Travis Kelce was the big play over the weekend, obviously, with his 100-yard plus game and the two touchdowns. 13 catches will help you along the way for sure. The Chiefs backfield, as we kind of transition from these championship games into what we could see, and we'll do more Super Bowl talk in our episode next week, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire finally does return for Kansas City. 6 carries, 7 yards. Did have the touchdown. Did have a couple of targets, and his one reception didn't go anywhere. But the Darrell Williams factor is one for Kansas City. And it's funny because, honestly, leaning into the season, you knew how high I was about CEH. And was so high that I also found out and realized that it was Darrell Williams who kind of made the push at the end of the season to be the guy to end up being the backup once Damian Williams, you know, had opted out earlier. But Williams didn't grab that backup job until later. And then you see the transition with Le'Veon Bell coming in, and now you're trying to work Bell and CEH. And now here we are entering Super Bowl 55. Darrell Williams is the Kansas City Chiefs' best option right now coming out of the backfield.
That's
crazy.
It, right? 14 touches in this game against Buffalo. We have no idea what Le'Veon Bell will be.
I don't think it'll be anything.
CEH being available, I'd run him out of the slot. Just, we're running 6 wide. Just change up the whole rules of the game. But it's the idea that you're going to find that. I mean, Darrell Williams will be low ranked, I would guess, in terms of the dollars spent.
I mean, I would rather have him in this game. Well, let me take that back. I was about to say that I'd rather have him rather than Leonard Fournette, but it is going up against that Buccaneers defense. So I may pump the brakes on that a little, but I'm not as shy about taking Darrell Williams instead of Leonard Fournette as I would have been maybe, you know, 2 weeks ago or something like that. Like, I actually think that Darrell Williams is now a piece of what Kansas City does, mainly in part because you can also keep him on the field. He used to be just a third down back. Now you can use him in a variety of places. So his value to me has gone up for Kansas City. We saw the type of Super Bowl Damian Williams had last year for KC. Now maybe it's Darrell Williams' opportunity to get some of that shine.
Did I tell you I paid $16 for Damian Williams in an auction draft the day before he opted out?
No.
Anyway.
No.
Because we did it early, right? All the magazines, all that. And like, I got Damian Williams. By the way, Mike, 16 of your fictional dollars are now dead because he opted out. Great. Thank you. So that worked out really well for me. But, yeah, when you look at Darrell Williams, again, if we're going to look at just double-digit opportunities, tough matchup, which will depress the algorithm that determines his salary for fantasy purposes, right, on the other side. Not that Kansas City is any slouch, but the Fournette likelihood, I think, as you go through of goal line touches, maybe muted a little bit by the fact that Brady will take it himself. So maybe it gets them a little more even. But I would suspect that we're looking at more of those tertiary receiver options if you're going to go pick someone out of the Tampa Bay, our guy Scotty Miller.
Sure.
How happy were you when he scored that touchdown?
I was so, I've been on the Scotty Miller train for a while, and then with the big catch. Of course, I didn't play him in any daily fantasy leagues.
Of course
not. I did last week. I should have known better with Antonio Brown being out, but as Richard Marks said, should have known better.
But in the end, it's two catches, 39, yeah, or 36 total. He gets the score. That was one of the stranger sequences if you're going to do just game breakdown.
Yeah.
But, yeah, from the running back position, he got 2 weeks. You know, is that enough for CEH? Maybe they feel better about his health, right? Does he get that explosiveness back to some degree that set the fantasy world on fire to start the season, as everybody lamented, not taking a shot on him, wondering how Andy Reid would dispatch with carries. The one thing also, I think, with Darrell Williams, he only had one target against the Bills. That's another thing you'll probably see more leaking out into the flat, trying to back that rush off.
Sure.
Right? Because with multiple offensive linemen gone, right, with Fisher now down with the Achilles, that's a tough time against that Tampa Bay front. So trying to get the ball out fast and back them off a bit so that Patrick Mahomes has a little more time. He'll get the 2 weeks to help heal his foot and all. So that not that it seemed to bother him terribly in this one. But, yeah, the Darrell Williams, your would-be star.
It's absurd. I mean, it's absurd.
That's where we're at.
Your Damian Williams purchase now makes me feel a little bit better for how high I was on CEH this past season and now to see where it is. I know, and maybe it's the perfect opportunity for us to do this because over this for the remainder of this episode, plus the next couple as well, we're going to be looking ahead to 2021, which to me is actually always fun because fantasy in your league with your buddies or anything that you did online is a thing of the past, but you're still in football mode, you're still in fantasy mode, so why not take the opportunity to look ahead to what could be next year? And what we can do over the next couple of weeks is just end up breaking down how we think things are going to at least play out. And the good thing for us, Mike, the NFL regular season's been over for about 3 weeks, but there are still a lot of questions to be answered, but there are also a lot of things that are changing in the NFL that gives us maybe the option to say this may not be what it was in 2021 as what it was in 2020. And so what I want to do here is if we were to have a draft right now, I just want to know for the 2021 season, the number one overall pick, is it a no-brainer? And who would be your first overall pick if you had to draft right now for next season in the NFL?
Do I have the guts to go back to the well with Christian McCaffrey, assuming that somebody – that one, he's going to stay healthy, but two, look, I like Teddy Bridgewater. There's a lot of quarterbacks on the open market.
Yeah.
Right? And we talk about Aaron Rodgers a little bit. His post-game comments, is he going to try to force his way out? I tell him to beat it, and I do dollar cost averaging because I'm not paying Jordan Love anything. And I say, you're stuck. Go hang out with Pat McAfee for the season. You're not quarterbacking somewhere else. But, you know, McCaffrey's the one that I kind of lean on, right? We didn't see much of him, but he averaged 30 points a game. And the PPR option becoming the norm, he's got to be in consideration.
I absolutely agree with you, and this is staggering. I ran some numbers, and me running numbers is looking up stats. I didn't type in anything.
No, that's running numbers.
Yeah, I looked it up, and it was very easy because these were the people who had 6 touchdowns this year, like Christian McCaffrey had, played in 3 games, had 6 touchdowns this season. Christian McCaffrey tied DeAndre Hopkins, Allen Robinson, James Conner, Leonard Fournette, who we see continuing to play, and Miles Sanders for touchdowns this season. Now, James Conner was dinged up, Miles Sanders was dinged up, but they didn't miss 13 games,
no.
Mike, like Christian McCaffrey did. DeAndre Hopkins played in all of his games. One of those touchdowns was a Hail Mary. So you have got, I mean, when you look at how impressive that little bit of action that Christian McCaffrey had, I agree with you wholeheartedly. He has to be the first overall pick in the 2021 draft if we were to draft today.
It's funny because then when you get to number two, I'm sitting there going, am I crazy to think I take Travis Kelce?
No.
In leagues where you still play a decided tight end?
No, because I thought to myself, am I crazy wanting to take Tyreek Hill?
Okay.
It's not, and I understand that, especially at the tight end position with what you have around, you can maybe also get, you know, more similar to what Tyreek Hill, but I was looking at Tyreek Hill, and honestly, I was looking at Devontae Adams. Who knows what, you know, with the Aaron Rodgers comments, sure. But in looking at it, and the reason why I don't think you're crazy about Travis Kelce, and the reason why I don't think I'm crazy with Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams is because the three guys that I would consider outside of CMC at the number one overall position would be Dalvin Cook, and you just had Gary Kubiak retire, right. So he's not your offensive coordinator anymore. And listen, Dalvin Cook gets injured. He actually was dinged up at times this year and played through those injuries, but that's still there. Derrick Henry's coming off of a 379 carry season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where
back-to-back years where he basically had
yes.
a piano on his back.
And then finally, the other guy that I think that we would consider is Alvin Kamara. But how good did Alvin Kamara do when Drew Brees wasn't the quarterback? And Drew Brees isn't going to be the quarterback. So you throw all of those things together, Mike, and I think you're looking outside of CMC maybe being the top guy. You are taking a shot at Travis. I thought of Tyreek Hill, but the when you said Travis Kelce, the more I think about it, yeah, I don't think that that's an awful idea, especially, you know, obviously in a PPR league as well.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it from position scarcity. There are three guys that you look at the tight end position far and away from anybody else. And that's assuming George Kittle comes back healthy.
Yeah, yep.
And ready to go. And if you're willing to put those chips in. By the way, that auction team, since we're doing this, $16 on Williams, like $39 on McCaffrey, and like another $30 on Kittle. Boom! There's my squad to start right
oh
there.
Oh, my
baby.
Goodness.
20 roster spots, $200. Those three guys. So, but looking at just the scarcity, right? And Darren Waller was fantastic. We talked about him a bunch for his Week 13 exploits against the Jets in what was just a ridiculous game. But overall, number one receiver in terms of receptions, number two in yards, number three in touchdowns, number two in fantasy points per game for tight end, right? It's him, whatever you think of Kittle and Kelce, and then it's a whole lot of touchdown-dependent what's the role going forward kind of guys. Like, Tonyan was a great waiver wire pickup, and he had some big games. But did you trust him every week? Unless you were a Lee DeLapp, our executive producer and Packer fan? No, you didn't. And just go on down the line. So many guys who, you know, had those two or three game streaks and then got hurt, right? The annual, hey, Hunter Henry's going to break now.
Yes,
so it's that kind of process that takes me to Kelce going, if I'm writing a column right now, I'll make the argument for him all the way up at number two.
Yeah, I think the other guys, there are other names. There are other names that are going to be first-round picks, but I don't think that – like, there's no way you could make an argument to put Saquon Barkley. Not after coming off of his injury.
No.
There's no way that you're going to
do
that.
Well, and who's quarterbacking?
Yeah, and I would also then move to Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is awesome. But he's just not going to go number one. He's not going to. He's going to be a first-round pick very likely. You'll be happy with Nick Chubb on your team, similar to Jonathan Taylor. I think that Jonathan Taylor and what they have in Indianapolis is, you know, Nyheim Hines, we know what he can do out of the backfield. But with Taylor's situation, we did see a little bit more of the receiving aspect. But you're still not going to take him number one. There are four running backs that I think that you consider going at number one, and three of them have big question marks. So if you're not willing to do that, you look at the wide receivers, you look at the tight end position, and yeah, I would put CMC above them. I think that's actually obvious, but he still has the injury stuff. But I'd put Kelce there. I'll even give you that nod, and then I'd put Tyreek and Devontae Adams
I'm
a
with
spot
you.
Lower.
Yeah. Yeah, and with Devontae, it's when you're looking at a first round overall. He and Aaron Jones are so dependent on what happens at the QB.
Sure.
Right? Because as good as Devontae is Jordan Love going to be able to put the ball where Rodgers has been able to for Adams to make plays?
By the way, yeah. Right? If Rodgers isn't there, Adams is
just
not
in, blow it all up.
Yeah, not in consideration. By the way, Aaron Jones is probably not going to be in Green Bay next year.
That's true.
If Aaron Rodgers is there, then maybe that allows some opportunity. Who knows how A.J. Dillon, you know, would take to the role. He seems to be more of a one-faceted back as opposed to the multifaceted that Jones is, but that could be more opportunities. And we'll also have to see what Green Bay can do, if anything, to try to add another weapon because that was one of my issues with Sunday was that Aaron Rodgers just looked for Devontae Adams way too much in the red zone, and I think it's why he didn't run it on third and goal. They settled for a field goal in the first half. There were three incompletions to Devontae Adams. One went off his hands, true, but there seems to be, for as great as the Lazard plays that you saw throughout the season and the MVS play yesterday, when it came down to really trusting someone, Aaron Rodgers trusts Devontae Adams. So if those two are back next year, you could put him maybe into consideration. If Rodgers isn't, yeah, you're pulling away from that.
And if not, then Rodgers has to go and talk to somebody. Because both of those guys, while they may not be true number twos, they've got a lot going for them, both Lazard and MVS. And most teams across this National Football League would kill to have either of them over whoever their number two was. So that's an Aaron Rodgers issue as well.
Let's dive into what we've done over the last couple of weeks. We're running down our top 10 favorite stat lines of the fantasy season. We've had, you know, Mike mentioned the Darren Waller 200-yard game that he had. I had the Tyreek Hill mentioned his effort against Tampa and what he did with the 13-reception, 269-yard, 3-touchdown effort in Week 12. That was last week. We've had a bunch of good ones. Mike, you've got two, 4 and 3. These aren't rankings. We're not ranking them 4. We're not ranking them 3. We're just counting it down of our 10 favorite. What have you got for your favorite stat lines for the 2020 fantasy season?
Go all the way back to Week 1 when hope started to become a dangerous word and an exciting time in Las Vegas as Josh Jacobs ran for 93 yards on 25 carries, workhorse, but he also had 3 touchdowns. And he started banging the drum going, oh, I got value. I got value. He also had 4 catches, 46 yards, just a massive week. And then you think about it on the whole, that was 9% of his rushing yards. He only went over 90 rushing yards twice the rest of the season, and that was 1/4 of his touchdowns. Not that you're expecting anybody to run for, you know, 25 touchdowns, but you got 3 that opening week, and you started wringing your hands going, oh, it's going to be so glorious. And he had a great year. No question. Got over 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. But that week one sent everybody excited, and people in Vegas were planning for Super Bowl trips to the pirate ship. So it would have been pirate on pirate.
I remember that because it was Raiders-Panthers. And even though they play every 4 years, I just do not have any recollection of the Raiders and Panthers ever playing and something happening. But for some reason, that stuck out. It was week one. Raiders got the win. Jacobs had the great day. And unfortunately for their owners, that was the high point of the 2020 season. All right, what else you got as our number 3 favorite stat?
Now, you had a statistical anomaly of all anomalies last week that you included on the list.
Yeah. Yes, Jeff Smith of the Jets was targeted 11 times, only caught 3 passes, and was also sacked, which I just loved. I don't know why.
The sack is great.
It was so much better than, like, throwing an incompletion on an end around. It was just that he was actually sacked in the game, which is why I used it, because not only did you not catch 8 of your 11 targets or complete 8 of your 11 targets, you ended up being sacked as well. So,
well, you have to want to give him a hug, though, because most guys just throw it up for grabs.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd almost rather have the sack than what's he do? He threw a duck down the field.
Here's the thing is I really have to look at it, and I got to find out what play it was. I'll admit, I did not look up and find out what the exact play was, but when I was looking at stats and just going through numbers, I'm like, man, that's a lot of targets and not a lot of catches. Then I'm like, wait, he got sacked? So we'll find the play. We'll do it for next week's pod.
We'll grab it on the game pass. Yeah. I'll screenshot it.
Okay, all right.
We'll put it up. The other line that I pulled for this week goes to Dak Prescott. all the way back in week two against the Atlanta Falcons. Remember when the Falcons were just everybody piling up points in the second half of games, and certainly for Dallas, right? That was that was the key. But the stat line for Dak Prescott was huge, as you would expect, but well, not quite in the same way. 450 yards through the air and a touchdown. But he also had three rushing touchdowns. Five carries, 18 yards, three scores. We were just talking about first round and top picks. I still see a lot of folks in mocks, right, the way too early mocks. Hey, Ezekiel Elliott. Like, Tony Pollard was a better back.
Yeah.
And right there in week two, Dak Prescott running for touchdowns, that told you what kind of year it was going to be.
Better back. That game also, Mike, seems like it was 4 years ago.
Yes, it does.
Like, it seems so long ago. You think about the onside kick and Hayden Hurst standing around it. When Dak was healthy,
Dak hasn't played in seemingly 4 years.
Oh, man.
We've talked about quarterbacks and any guy that's ever lived in Dallas, passed through Dallas. Hey, Matt Stafford wants out. Send him to Dallas.
It's been so long. Dak actually did a Sleep Number commercial about recovering from his injury. That's how long, like, he was able to already film a commercial as he tries to come back from his leg that was pointing at 11 o'clock when he broke his leg. Yeah,
that was produced in Texas, no state tax on whatever he got paid to do the ad. Think about that. That's a brilliant.
Oh, man, that was I don't know if it was Sleep Number. I apologize to the mattress company if I got it wrong, but for, let's just say, a mattress ad.
That's right.
But that's how long ago that has been. All right, so we kind of put a bow on the conference championship games. Again, listen to Mike and Jason and the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Hear their thoughts on it. You can always podcast it if you want to get the hot takes. We just kind of look at the numbers and how things play out and how they could do it fantasy-wise, and also just on what actually is going to happen on the field. We'll have some fun with some prop bets next week for the Super Bowl. We'll have some, you know, coming out at that point. And we'll also dive more into how the 2021 draft is going to play out. You know our thoughts on number one, and now you kind of know some of our thoughts on 2, 3, 4, and 5. We'll end up elaborating on that and have some guys that you need to mark right now so you don't forget about them in July, August, and early September. All right, Mike, now we can take a breather, a week without football, which will be weird, but I'm going to miss it when it's gone, but we'll try to take advantage of it as much as we can this week.
We're down to one game, Dan.
I know.
268 of them are in the books.
The good news is while the off season this year won't be as long, especially as last year's off season because of COVID, but it'll be like our last long off season. Well, depending on what the NFL does, because if they go to 17 games, for next season, then the Super Bowl will be pushed back a week. And while the preseason is likely to be shortened, maybe it'll be somewhat a similar window, but we'll be a little bit deeper in February for a Super Bowl than we normally would. And we'll have more fantasy games to talk about, so that'll be a plus.
Well, and you and I will both figure out how to be in the city of the Super Bowl. Men on the street harassing fans and players alike.
It's because we live in the city where the Super Bowl is going to be next year. There's no excuses now for us.
See, now I'm conflating it with WrestleMania, which got moved because it was supposed to be this year.
Yes.
Now it's going to be in Tampa. So Tampa gets both the Super Bowl and WrestleMania here.
Well, and that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing with the Tampa playing the home game. It slipped my mind, and I read it somewhere, and I'm like, that's right. We had rains in Los Angeles 3 years ago that delayed construction of SoFi Stadium. Otherwise, Super Bowl 55 was scheduled to be in L.A., and the Buccaneers wouldn't have been the first team to play in their home stadium. They would have been playing in L.A. against Kansas City. But because of that rainstorm 3 years ago, they switched with Tampa. They also switched the broadcast, so CBS gets the Super Bowl this year, and NBC next year will get the broadcast so they can package it up with their Winter Olympics coverage. So there's a lot of changes, but for the Buccaneers, they make history. And thanks to that rainstorm 3 years ago in Southern California, the Bucs become the first team to play in their own stadium.
Do you think Anthony Lynn would have coached differently in the fourth quarter if the Super Bowl
I like Anthony Lynn, and I have such a tough time taking shots at game management.
I know, but I had to do it.
Oh, man.
But I tell you what, we'll talk about coaches over the next couple of weeks as well.
Yeah.
I may not be really excited about Dan Campbell as the head man, but, man, they have built up a roster of assistant coaches and people to run the show around him.
Yeah, Anthony Lynn, one of those guys, Deuce Daly joining as well. So a lot of conversations that we'll have. Again, we'll have a couple of more episodes of I Want Your Flex coming at you. Get Mike at Swollen Dome. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox. A huge thanks to our executive producer, Lee DeLapp, who I think I probably left out of the last six podcasts, and thanking Lee for all of his work. But you can get Lee on Twitter at Lee DeLapp. And, of course, you can always tweet us at I Want Your Flex. Enjoy the weekend off. We'll be back next week and look even more ahead to the 2021 fantasy season and Super Bowl 55. Talk to you then.